So Gay tells about her phone. Jesus said it this way to all these church guys. You guys are beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You can, isn't it amazing? You can wash a phone till it's spotless, but it breaks it. I'm assuming that a dirty face is okay when the inside works. What do you think? I do. I'm fixing to show you a video of one of my favorite Christmas songs, but it is my favorite people who do one of my favorite Christmas songs. I'll turn the lights off so you can see it. Anyway, go ahead, Mr. Jeremy.
Ooh.
Think out of all the Christmas songs, I could probably find something else I like better than that, but I don't, because the truth is Mary didn't know. Here's what I want to talk to you. You know, we give divinity and we look at all of the manger scenes and we do all those things, but we need to understand the practical side of life and what was really going on at that time so that we can get a grip on this whole thing of how much God loves mankind. And it really is in this story of Mary. Mary didn't have a clue. I'm going to hurt y'all's feelings, but the truth is, proven through scholars and all the things, all the avenues you can go with history and Josephus and all of it, Mary was at the oldest 14 years old when she got married and when the angel showed up. 14 years old. Now, here's the problem with that. In our culture nowadays, we are so perverted that we view that as perversion. Oh, it couldn't be that. No, it's because you're perverted, not God. The people of the day, of the biblical times, call it what you will, still had this tremendous understanding when God said, I want you to replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. They highly respected that. So all of this, you know, well, I wouldn't do an arranged marriage because I'm going to pick my own. Well, good luck with that. That's not the point. The point is they understood it. They understood him. They loved him. They weren't texting. They weren't Facebooking. They weren't hunting people down. They understood it. And so families, an arranged marriage wasn't you have to marry this guy. It's not that way at all. Even nowadays, I've been to India many times, and they have arranged marriages there. And at any point in time in this whole meeting place, the girl or the guy can go, oh, I don't think so, and walk away, all right? The reason I say that is because what a beautiful story for this, at the oldest. And just so you know, too, eventually they actually put the, you know how they like to always help the law? So in the Torah, or excuse me, in the Talmud, they wrote in that a boy would have to be 13 at the youngest and a girl 12 for marriage. Now again, we have this cultural thing of marriage in our brain. What I want you to understand is how powerful it is that this child, because we view Mary as this, you know, 25 to 30 year old woman having this child, and I'm wanting to humanize it today, because until we understand the humanized side of it, we'll never get the divinity side of it. You will never understand your purposes of God until you understand how much he loves you and how important you are to him. And Mary is one of the primest examples in the Word how that works out. Let's look at the Word, speaking of that. We all know this story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, understand Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. That's a whole different story. She was barren. Now, this is a whole, it's a different story. Here Mary was a virgin. She was barren, couldn't have babies. And then God says, you're going to have a baby. And her husband didn't believe it, so God absolutely shut him down so he couldn't talk or anything. Anyway, whole different story. You can read it for yourself if you want to. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. That word woman actually means female. I think we just want to think that way. Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused, dialogazimai is a great word, and disturbed, diatarasso, so ah, whatever, how you say it, whatever. The bottom line is, I'm going to come back to that, so be ready to come back to that. Back up for, where am I at? Are we still there? Back up for a second, thanks. So Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, that's what those two words are. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Now listen, she's listening to all this. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I think that's where I stopped. Did I keep going? I don't think so. Back up to those two words. Very good. Thank you. So watch this. You need to get some perspective here. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. The word confused, the best I can put it in the English language as you do the whole thing of it is, she could not wrap her brain around. She could not reason. And that word for disturbed literally means, let me tell you exactly what that means. It literally means to agitate to the point of convulsions. It so freaked her out. She not only couldn't wrap her brain around it, but it strikes fear in you. It strikes, there's one other word that I wanted to say, panic. It strikes panic. It strikes fear. It strikes all of these crazy emotions. But here's what you need to look at right here. It wasn't because he had not told her. He had not told her that she was fixing to have Jesus. He hadn't said that yet. What freaked her out? You're the favored woman. What we don't understand, and ladies, please, it's not just ladies, it's guys too, but listen to me. Why did the angels proclaim it to the shepherds? Because they were nobodies. Why did he say she was a VIP? She's a 14-year-old, in our culture, child. In their culture, probably grown up. Isn't it amazing how the more stuff we get, the less grown up we become? What confused her, what rattled her to the core, what almost gave her convulsions was, there was this angel named Gabriel saying, God favors you. Oh, I hear some of you girls, but I'm not a virgin. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Today's your day. The word's very clear. Today's your day. What do you mean? I am a new creature, the word tells us. I'm a new creature. Today, if you choose to be the new creature in you, you are as a virgin as anyone. The enemy loves to accuse you. Listen to me. Those of you who have failed in those sexual areas, he loves to accuse you in that. First of all, he loves to get you to do it. I've told you that a million times. He loves to say, oh, go ahead. You like him, you like her, you like him, you like her. Oh, go ahead. And then the second you do it, he comes right back with, God, you what a scumbag you are. Can't believe you did that. That doesn't change anything what God thinks concerning you. Mary could have chosen a different route. Granted, she could have. But God viewed her as favored, and he views you as favored as well. So these emotions were stirred about being favored by God, not by becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So she couldn't wrap her brain around the fact that she was God's VIP. No, we really don't believe that we're VIP with him. We do believe that he loves us to a degree, but we don't believe that we are a very important person with him. And I think that's the whole thing to understand. Remember the last time you filled out a job application? It's been a long time for me, but I do remember it. In fact, I actually didn't get a job twice because I couldn't pass a stupid lie detector test. I'm serious. I guess my emotions are so what they are, you know. I mean, they would ask me, they had me like being a Russian communist with selling drugs on the corner, and I wasn't a Russian nor a communist, the drug part probably, but I really did. And it was 7-Eleven of all places. Good night. They hire anybody, don't they? Well, not me. But anyway, here's what a whole job application is for, right? It asks for your background, and it asks for your education, and it asks for your experience. And the truth is, they're kind of looking for liabilities more than they are assets, aren't they? They're kind of looking for, you know, the reason why you won't work out. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't work that way. Because the truth is, Mary's resume was not very impressive. On Mary's job application, she had some serious liabilities. Number one, she was young. Again, I told you a while ago, it was customary to be engaged by 12 or 13, and that's how young she was when Gabriel showed up. So here's what we think. We think, well, I'm too young for God to use me. But God doesn't think that way. I can't tell you the times that I've seen young Christians, and I love it, actually. I actually love this part because it irritates people. Because young Christians that just know Jesus all of a sudden are just speaking life to other people, man. Just speaking right in. You know, I feel like God's saying that about 3 days ago, you know, you were struggling with something, and he just wants you to know he was there with you. You know, and they're bawling and squalling. And then all these people who've known God for like 15 years are back there going, why ain't he doing that with me, man? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? When you think you're all that, you're not. But when you don't think you're all that, you are. Do you get it? It's just so fun for me. So she obviously wasn't too young. And there's so many guys and gals in the scripture where you can show. I mean, David was just a snotty-nosed kid when he killed Goliath. And I mean, we could go on for days of age and, you know, Jeremiah and but God, I'm too young. And God, no, you're not. And so she was very young, but it didn't matter. Second part is she was poor, man. You remember when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to be circumcised, and they were required to bring two offerings, a lamb for the burnt offering and a pigeon or a dove for the sin offering. But if you couldn't afford to do a lamb, you could do another pigeon or so. So if you remember, all they brought were two doves. They didn't have any money. They were poor. And I think it's hilarious to me. I said hilarious. I think it might be the right word. It's amazing to me that when people say, you know, there wasn't enough room for them in the inn, let's be brutally honest here. I really think there was plenty of room. I just don't think they had the money to pay for it. It's like when Hurricane Harvey hit. Normally it's $90 for a hotel room. Dude, it was up to $300. You know, okay, well, this just back up. This was tax time when they were coming into Jerusalem. It wasn't everybody was coming for Jesus' birth. It was everybody was coming because it was a busy time of year and they had to do their taxes. So it got expensive to stay at those inns. So I firmly believe, you know, when they said there's not enough room at the inn, I'm sure if they would have produced enough cash, there would have been enough room at the inn. You get it? So their family was very poor. This does not line up with our culture, nor does it line up with really mankind's understanding of what value is. Because we view value as how much stuff we have and how much we can do. And that's just not God's way. And he made it so clear in this story, but again, we have so Christmas-fied it, if that's a new word. I want us to see her where she was at. Now watch this. They were too poor to provide for Jesus, people probably thought too. She can't have a baby. But see, God didn't think so. So she was young and she was poor, and she was from Nazareth. And everybody's like, what is it? I'm going to show you this scripture just because I want you to understand it. In John 15, Philip had just seen Jesus. So Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, dude, I have found the very person that Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Look what Nathan says. Nazareth, he exclaimed. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And then Philip's smart, was like, well, come see for yourself, man. Because the truth is, Nazareth was on the other side of town. Nazareth was the south side of Haltom City. Hear me. Nazareth was the opposite of South Lake and Grapevine. And I'm not throwing those people under the bus. Oh, what he was saying is, can anything good come out of the hood? Huh? I just made that one up. I think I'll write a song, Anything Good. Because, Ken, I know you love my rap, so I'll do that for you, just for you. So here's this, picture the scenario. And I think you'll get a little understanding of why Mary was so fearful and panicked. Because in her thinking and understanding, she did not qualify for whatever the task was going to be. She didn't know it yet. He hadn't told her yet. And I don't know why I'm talking to mostly ladies. I guess because Mary's a lady. Stop it with you being the one to determine if you can be used by God. Do you hear me? I think one of those, this is later on in my message, but it don't matter, it'll shorten it, I'll say it now. One of the most powerful things to understand concerning Mary is this. God wasn't asking Mary to go into ministry. She was asking to put ministry inside of Mary. There's a huge difference, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies. I want you to hear that. Because forever we have, you know, we have this thing, I'm available, God. No. It's the Martha and Mary story. Mary sat at Jesus' feet being lazy. Martha was cooking in the kitchen, but you can't get pregnant in the kitchen. Mary, obviously a different Mary, chose to hang with Jesus. And he said she'd chosen the better thing. I love this whole thing of Mary. And we'll walk through that in your brain with after he told her what was going to happen. Isn't it amazing to you, because it is to me, that Gabriel declared her as being favored, undeserved, and that's really what that word means, unmerited. God just is favors you like nobody's business. And he shares that, but yet incorporated in that is going to be the greatest pain that she's ever experienced. How can you be favored of God and suffer in pain? Welcome to real life, ladies and gentlemen. This kind of sets the old hyper faith aside, so I can't be blamed for that anymore. Let me stay right here in my notes so I don't get too far off. So these characteristics of Mary seem to make her unusable. But God's not, if you haven't figured this out yet, man, you should, just by listening to me talk every week, you should get this. God's not worried about ability. He just wants availability. And that's where Mary was, because I promise you, had Mary like, I don't think so. It's like, remember when Gideon did all that? What do you mean I'm a warrior, dude? I'm a farmer, and I'm from the smallest tribe ever. Leave me alone. Go find a real warrior. Just the angel of the Lord, God was always sending angels to do that to all these guys. I am not a warrior. And that's a great story, too. I'll leave that one for another time. So, let me stay right here. Her characteristics seem to make her unusable. And I said, God's not interested in ability or availability. God's choice of Mary teaches us individually, say your name to you out loud. Say your name. Okay, thank you. So this is who it's saying it to. This is an individual word for you. This is saying it to, I heard you mostly Troy, so it's for you, Troy. This is for you. Now you're not going to get pregnant, I get it, but this is for you. God's choice of Mary teaches us that no matter who we are or what we've been through, we are valued and we are able. I try it in all kinds of different angles for you to understand how valuable you are to God. If Mary is not the proof of that, you're going to never get it. Seriously. Now, this whole understanding of Mary at 14, which, by the way, she was versed in the Word. If you continue to read in Luke chapter 1, she does what they call the Magnificat, or whatever it's called, however you say it, where she gives praises to the Lord, and it's all out of the Old Testament. So she had the Word in her heart. But look, there's no way she wrapped her brain around the whole understanding. And again, because of my understanding, 14 years old isn't very old. And I know, so if you're 14 in here, I know you know more than me right now. But listen, when you get to be about 25, 30, you're going to recognize I lost some of that. Maybe he did know a little bit. So, before Gabriel came, Mary was in the middle of building her future life, busy making her own plans as a wife and mother, don't you know? Joseph had, which by the way, marriage was totally different than, this thing marriage drives me crazy, especially here in the States. Do you know we're one of the few countries that we have state marriage? Most marriages in other countries are incorporated under the religious laws that they have, whatever religion that might be. But here, it's incorporated under the state. So their whole thing about marriage, it wasn't like we do. You go to counseling and you try not to be with each other because you don't want to feel guilt, and then you come down and you do the yes I do's, and then you walk out and poof, you're married. Those of us who have been married, well, I kind of thought that would happen. When I walked down the aisle 100 years ago, I thought I would walk back after I said I do, feeling married. You don't. Do you? Did somebody feel married when? It was like 6 months later, and I wake up, and I go, oh, my God. I think I'm married. She's still here 6 months. Marriage is a huge deal in the culture of the day, especially in the biblical day. Through the years, that side of the culture has changed too, just so you know. In the purity of the way it was, man, there was this long courtship, and they actually became married long before they consummated the wedding. Long before. And it was just this whole wonderful God-ordained thing that would happen. So Mary's in the midst of all this, knowing that she's been betrothed, that she's now engaged to Joseph. And so she's going, as you would, as any of you parents have done in the past, planning out the kids, what I want, you know, just that whole scenario. So I'm sure she's already down the road to when she's like 20, 25 and has a 12, 13-year-old kid. As weird as that is. But hear with me. So she was in the middle of this, and before her life even got started, God calls her to let go of her plans and enter into His plans for her. But I want you to notice something that I think is extremely important. Mary didn't ask why. She asked how. I think for a while, if God ever got tired, I don't think He gets tired. But if He ever did, I think He got tired of me always asking why. I rarely would ask how. For instance, I'll do something simple. I want to spend $100 on something. And I just feel like maybe that God is saying in my heart, no, you don't need to do that. And mine, well, why? Well, why? Why? Rather than, well, how am I going to accomplish this goal? Because when you start asking how, His way might not be your way. I think as young as she is, she didn't say, why? Because that was her fear, and I think she worked through it a little bit. Why are you gonna do that to me, man? It's gonna ruin me. It's gonna ruin my reputation. She just said, how? I'm a virgin. Gabriel said, Holy Spirit's gonna come inside of you. You know what is really cool about the human nature? Just so you know, this is a side note, but it's just really cool to me. You know the placenta that feeds the baby that's in there, okay? Do you understand that none of the mother's blood is in the baby, only the father's? Because the placenta feeds and disposes of that stuff, but the blood never mixes with the mother. So he was divine, wasn't he? I mean, Joseph was his dad. But God was the baby daddy. God was the donor. How crazy is that? And as a 14-year-old person, to tell somebody that? That's why God had to go to Joseph separately, remember? He sent the angel separately, because Joseph must have been just the most... there's not very much about him in the Word, by the way.
But he must have been one of the most awesome guys, because he had every right, according to the law, to stone her to death. The word says he was going to put her away privately. In other words, he wasn't going to expose her for being the whore that she was. He was going to put her away privately out of respect for his family, her family, whatever. So he's asleep, and the angel's like, hey, don't. Would you ever believe a female? She's telling you the truth. Come on, guys. Would you ever believe a female that you're married to?
Well, you know, God did it, man. I'm just telling you.
This is me too. I'm assuming, I really feel like Jesus looked a lot like his mother, the natural, but I think he had his father's eyes. I just always thought that. I don't know. We'll know that when we get there. I'll stay right here. Sorry. So before her life got started, God called her, and she didn't ask why, she asked how. See, here's what's so fun. Mary didn't battle with unbelief. She battled with wrapping her brain around the promise. You get it? I am so that way with God. I don't struggle a whole lot anymore with not believing he can, if you will. But man, isn't there that battle of wrapping the brain around the promise that he will? So Mary's response is the perfect example of trust. And here's what she responded. May everything you said about me come true. No argument, no complaint, no what will the neighbor say. That's where I'd be. That's exactly where I'd be. I'd stop the complaint and the argument. I'd be straight up to the neighbor's side. Oh my, really, honey? My 14-year-old child, really? You're going to tell, really? And what is it? It's all about me and my reputation and my this and my that. So, and she didn't even think about how Joseph would respond. She didn't have to. Thank God he provided that, because I'll just tell you right now, if my wife ended up pregnant right now, it would have to be the Immaculate Conception, Reception, whatever. I wouldn't, whatever she said, I wouldn't believe. It would have to be an angel. That's just weird, wasn't it? Honey, that was weird. You want me to keep going so I can get everybody's mind off that subject so they won't ask us about it, like after church or... We just got back from Disney World yesterday, just want you to know that. We did. What if there's something important on our Disney World trip, like when we talked to the guy in the minivan? Okay. Do you notice how much I obey my wife? I'm just like Mary obeying God. It's just, she's my God, and I obey her. Ben, you love that, don't you? Smart man, thank you very much. I just really, thank God, you need to thank God I have notes. Otherwise, we'd be going like way off somewhere in the wilderness. Okay, I really have them. Here they are. You ready? Mary didn't consider her reputation with her neighbors or family or her relationship with Joseph. She was only concerned with her relationship with God, and Mary trusted God and his word toward her. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, trust God in his word towards you. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west, not the north and the south. You hear me? You are declared righteous because of what Christ did on the cross, not because of anything that you can do. Do you hear me? You have to believe what God is saying concerning you, or you'll never be able to accomplish what God has to do concerning you. And that was Mary. I was going to say blindly trust. I don't know if there's a, maybe that's an oxymoron or a, I don't know. Let me stay right here. And this is kind of where I will end today. And I said this earlier, God was not inviting Mary into ministry. He was asking to put ministry into Mary. And it was a lifelong commitment. You realize that Mary's the only person that was with Jesus from birth to death and all the in-between. And by the way, Mary wasn't this, we've kind of made her this weird person too. When I say weird person, she had a personality and she was very strong. And evidently, Joseph died early on in their marriage. It's not recorded anywhere. Even historically, you can't hardly find anything concerning it. But evidently, that happened simply because of there were times in the end, which, by the way, had they been divorced, it would have been recorded because that was important to record that type of stuff for some reason back in those days. So he must have died sometime. So she was kind of like the dad for Jesus, too. She was a strong one. In fact, remember when he was 12? And they accidentally left him in Jerusalem. Like, how did they accidentally leave him? Because there was a ton of people. There was 300 or 400 people traveling with them. They thought he was in the back with them. So they just kept going when they realized he wasn't there. But anyway, it was mom who got to Jesus and said, "Hey, boy, what do you think you're doing then?" And then to us, Jesus smarted off, right? "I'm just doing my father's business." You know what's so funny? The word says she didn't get mad about that. She stored those things in her heart. Do you remember that, man? She was awesome. When the shepherds, after that whole crazy thing where the angels sang songs to them, how cool is that? I mean, the angels would talk, but these angels were singing songs, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth," and multitudes, and so that had to freak them out, so they finally went and found this baby, and of course, they're probably pretty excited, and they're telling them all about it, and she just had a baby, so she's, you know, probably pretty tired and holding this baby, but the Bible doesn't say she wanted them out of the hair. The Bible says that everybody else was talking and they were amazed at what the shepherd said. But the Bible says that she stored all of those things in her heart and would bring them up later a lot. How cool is that? How cool is that? That was free. That wasn't in my notes. Here's what I want you to see, too. Remember her cousin Elizabeth that was barren? Even in her old age, she was old. The woman couldn't have a baby. Boom, she had this baby. She was barren. Now watch this. Elizabeth was barren, and the Holy Spirit opened her womb. But Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. One was pregnant by miracle, the other by divine encounter. I'd love miracles. We have miracles happen around this place all the time. We have Miracle Sunday. But let me tell you something. There's nothing greater and better than walking in divine encounter, because miracles happen from that. So what a change. An old woman who can't have babies and God says, "Oh, yes, you can," to a young virgin who isn't even ready to have babies and God says, "I'm asking to put my ministry in you." I just want to read this little excerpt and I'll be done. Beth Moore wrote a book called Jesus, the One and Only. This is from it. Kind of helps, I think, us understand this in a very practical way. She's talking about Mary, and I quote, it says, "Her body lay sapped of strength, but her mind refused to give way to rest. She ached for her mother. She wondered if she yet believed her. The baby awoke in the night and began to wail. She scooped him in her arms, her long hair draping his face, and she quietly slipped out of the gate. She gingerly sat down and leaned against the outside of the stable, propped the baby up on her small lap, and she began to stare in his tiny face. She had not yet seen him in the light. She had never seen the moon so bright. Only hours old, his chin quivered, not from the cold, but from the sudden exposure of birth. His eyes were shaped like almonds and were as black as the deepest well, and she held him tightly and quietly hummed a song she had learned as a child. She had been so frightened at this moment, so sure she would not know what to do. She had never held an infant so small, and he was God, wrapped in soft infant flesh, with bones so fragile she felt like he could break. She had pictured this moment so many times. What would the Son of the Spirit look like? She never expected him to look so normal, so common. Must have been the part of that he inherited from his mother. She was so sure she'd feel terribly awkward, so afraid she'd drop him, the Messiah, and God would be awfully sorry he had given him to her. Instead, Every fear, every doubt, every inadequacy was momentarily caught up in the indescribable rapture of a mother's affection. She looked into his delicate face and watched him closely as he seemed to stare deeply into the moonlit sky. And she began to talk. "Sweet baby boy, do you know who your daddy is? Do you know your name? Do you know why you're here? What do you see when you look out there? Can you see the stars? Do you remember their names? Do you think I'll do okay? Will you love me too?" A tear dropped from her chin to his, and he yawned and made such a funny expression, she grinned, wiping her face on the yellowed rags she had draped around him. Not a sound was coming from inside the stable. The earth stilled. The infant slept. She held the babe next to her face, and for just a moment, all the world was silent to the breath of God. She closed her eyes and listened, but she still could not begin to comprehend. She, a common child of the most humble means who had never read the scriptures for herself, was embracing the incarnate word. The fullness of the Godhead rested in her inexperienced arms, sleeping to the rhythm of her heart. The tiny baby boy had robbed her heart. "So this is how it feels to be a mother," she mused. She crept back into the stable, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger. And just down the path, the sun peeked gently over the roof of an inn full of barren souls who had made him no room. So my question is, why did God choose Mary from all the women of that day? Because doing what God wanted was the most important thing in her life, and she trusted him more than fame, fortune, reputation, or money. So Mary, did you know? I don't think she really did. But throughout her life, filled with incredible highs and lows, she trusted God. And guys, that's what Christmas is, yeah? That's what Christmas is. So in the midst of our 2 weeks from tomorrow, it is. In the midst of all that this week, pause. Recognize that it is divine what happened. And had we not had Christmas, we certainly wouldn't be able to have Easter. But man, just the practical side of God is just, you are favored by him and you don't even see it. But it still took Mary to say, "Yeah, okay, I can do this." She did. Amen.
Would you all stand with us? Steve kept saying we were VIPs. I want you to know that according to God, I believe VIP is valuable, indispensable, and preferred. And there's two lies that I hope will be broken off of you today. One is that you're not preferred. Other people are preferred over you. Because John 17 tells me that he prayed for each one of us who were to come. It wasn't just about everybody else but me. You need to believe that he preferred and wanted you. And the second thing today is that God will be sorry he chose you. God is not sorry that he chose you to represent him. Because our greatest failures only validate the power of God working through yielded lives. Don't believe anything else today but that you are chosen and highly favored. Mercy, guys, is more than what I got. Mercy is what is withheld. And God is wanting to withhold judgment from a lot of you. And you're trying to believe that you deserve judgment. So today, I'd like for you just to receive the gift of favor from the Lord. You have to choose to receive it. Would you just bow your heads with me right now? And let's just pray together. Lord, we just thank you today that you're a good God and that you love us. God, whatever thoughts of why could God love me? Today, God, we give you why as our gift. And we say, how, Lord, how, God, may we represent you with our brokenness. today, God, give favor, give love, and give the testimony to each person in this room that you are the one who does the impossible. And that we, Lord, will trust you to do that in our lives because of Jesus. Thank you today, Lord. We thank you today, Lord. Blot out the doubt. Give us, God, your hope today. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
What you're sensing and feeling right now, that peace, love, however you, the words that you can't put to it, but it feels right, you can walk with that. It's what God, what Gay said this morning about God is with us to tabernacle, but it's because he's in us. So you can walk in that peace, that love, that joy, that I really am okay. Because listen, he crazy. He just loves you like that. So take that with you. Don't leave it in here. There'll be plenty left when you come back. Amen.
Amen. After service, for those of you who can stay, James, if you'd go ahead and lead the way back. Those who can stay and help for just a minute, set up for Christmas. And don't forget, next Sunday, Troy, do you have those cards here? We've got some cards. Troy's going to hand those out at the back. They're just little cards that talk about our church, just service times. On the back is a map and some little lines. Why don't you just say, hey, would you love to see you at church, or I'll buy you a coffee at church because you know it's free, right? Why don't you put that on the card and just hand them out at work, put them in the bathroom. Troy's got those cards for you to take to invite people next week for our special Christmas time. Amen.